Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, The Greatest Faith. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can download a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Turn with me, please, in the Scriptures to Matthew, the 8th chapter. For some weeks now, we've been on a topic, a subject that we're calling the greatest faith. The greatest faith. Matthew 8, verse 5. There are two instances in the account of Jesus' ministry where he referred to people that they had the greatest faith he had seen. And it's the centurion and also the Canaanite or the Syrophoenician woman, both of which were people you might not expect to have great faith or the greatest faith. One, a Roman soldier, tough guy. Guy had been in a lot of rough situations. The Romans were not known for being leadership, for being godly. And then the Syrophoenician woman, it was specifically said that she was Canaanite. And if you read, we have a lot of information about how the Canaanites lived. And it's not good. Not moral at all. But in both of these cases, somehow, they were able to have faith that absolutely impressed Jesus. Well, if they can have great faith, you can have great faith. And with great faith, you can get great results. You can please God greatly and have great victories in this life. In Matthew 8 and 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." You know, he still says that?
Yes.
He never ever changes. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." One thing we saw about the greatest faith is that it does not think of itself as entitled. It does not imagine that somebody owes it something. You can't separate great faith from great humility. The Lord owes us nothing because of who we are personally. But he's given us everything because of who Jesus is.
Yes.
And what he's done for us in our stead and in our place. But one of the worst things that could happen to you is for you to get to thinking people owe you everything. Mm-hmm. Or get to thinking that because you've been a good person, or you go to church a lot, or you've given in offerings, that God owes you a healing, or God owes you some kind of protection or something. This is absolutely untrue. Everything he has given us is a free grace gift. Undeserved, unmerited, unearned. You can have it, you can enjoy it, but don't think you deserve it. Did I lose somebody? Very important. See, that's what this man said. You also see that with the Syrophoenician woman. They both understood this. He said, "I'm a man under authority. I got soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it." Unquestioned, immediate obedience. Everybody say it out loud. Unquestioned,
unquestioned.
Immediate.
Obedience.
Now, is this just coincidence that was part of him having great faith? Of all the things that could have been recorded, this is brought out in detail. So this humility, this not thinking that you've earned it or deserved it, and this readiness to unquestioningly and immediately obey. These are all characteristics of the greatest faith. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said to them that followed, "Verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. I say to you, many will come from the east and west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Other accounts said, "And many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is continuing to talk about what I just mentioned earlier, how that so many times you don't find great faith where you should, where you think you would. Among church-going people, among those that have grew up in a Christian home, those that have had access to all kind of word, and oftentimes you will find great faith among people you wouldn't think so, that grew up rough and hadn't had the opportunities. Doesn't have to be that way, but you'll see it that way. And he said, Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done to you." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Does the Lord still do things like this today?
Yes.
If you'll have faith like this, right? No? Yeah. Okay, well, make sure we're on the same page here. Go with me to Mark, the 10th chapter, and let's look at another situation that happened in Jesus' ministry that goes right along with this. The greatest faith could also be called the greatest trust. Trust is another word. We're describing the same thing. Faith, trust, also the word confidence. You know, in the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance." Other translations say confidence of things hoped for or expected. The evidence, it's the conviction of the reality of things not seen. Confidence and trust are similar words for the idea of faith. And you see in Mark 10, a man who struggled with this and actually failed the trust test. So this is a contrast. We see the centurion had such great faith. You're about to see a man here who in contrast had none, even though he had an even greater opportunity than the centurion. The centurion had an opportunity for his servant to be healed, and he got that. But in Mark 10, verse 21, well, let's see, I'm moving too quick. Back up a little bit. Verse 17, when Jesus was gone forth to the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother." And he, the young man, answered and said, "Master, all these I've observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. There was a lot to like about this young man. Yeah. He was a good young man. And that's what he's got on his mind, is about being good. Yeah. But the Lord had something else on his mind, other than him being good. he beheld him and loved him. He looked at him. By the Spirit, he knows things about him. He knows he's telling the truth when he says, I've kept all these commandments from my youth. He loved him. And what this young man's asking, and this is also in Matthew, what is it, chapter 19, I believe it is. It's also in Luke, three different accounts of the same happening. And he said, what do I lack? The young man asked Jesus, what do I lack? And Jesus said, if you'll be perfect, if you want to, that word perfect means complete. If you want to go all the way, here's what you lack. So he's a good young man, but he's the one who came to Jesus and said, what can I do? He said, well, if you want to go all the way, here's what you do. You sell whatever you have, liquidate, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. This is an invitation to join the 12 and the 70. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Travel with Jesus. Wow. Be on his crusade team. Wow. You see what I'm talking about an opportunity here? This is an opportunity. And verse 22, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He had a lot of money and had a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he went away sad. Everybody say sad.
Sad.
Sad reveals what's going on in the heart. Yep. What's he sad about? Whether his head realizes it or not, he just missed the greatest opportunity of his life.
Right.
Over some money and stuff.
Yeah.
The Lord didn't ask him to take a vow of poverty. And never have anything in his life. Some people have tried to make it into that. You hear some preachers talking about, you know, they try to make this into that if you give enough to the poor, that's how you get into heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into salvation. Or they try to make it that, you know, the Lord is so displeased if you have any money or any stuff, and he wants you to absolutely get rid of it. Well, if everybody, believers, did that and got rid of everything, you and I'd be meeting on the side of the road.
Right.
And what would we be wearing? Right? Sure wouldn't be on TV. Or the internet.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like to listen to today's teaching in its entirety from the series, The Greatest Faith, you may visit our website at morelife.org. Click on the Word Supply button, then select Series for an alphabetical listing. You will also find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.